Hilda, our message for today is innocent blood. By the way, don't spill any. First of all, we're going to talk about Jonah. He was told by the Lord to go to Nineveh, not to Tarshish, not to Joppa. He was told to go to Nineveh. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went and hopped a boat. We'll find a few things out about what happened. Jonah, chapter 1, the first 17 verses. Jonah, chapter 1, the first 17 verses say, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, and that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto them, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth in the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this grace tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hath done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Just as a side note, notice it was a great fish, not a whale. A whale is a great fish. A great fish is not necessarily a whale. Jonah had wronged God. Jonah was sent out to be a witness to the Ninevites. And even in all of his disobeying God, he was a witness to those that were in that ship. Because they saw God's power, and God's power against Jonah. And when Jonah was thrown over the side, the waters were calm. They'd been violent, but now they were calm. And those mariners knew who had calmed the water. Part 2. In Psalms 106, 34 through 40, the Israelites were following the heathens and not God. They were mingled among the heathens and learned their works. The heathens' works, not God's works, the heathens' works. It got so bad, how bad was it, that they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Their sons and their daughters they sacrificed to devils. They shed innocent blood. Even the innocent blood of their sons and their daughters. And the land was polluted with innocent blood. Psalm 106, verses 34 through 40. And it says, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, who they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. They made God sorry he made them, sorry that he called them his inheritance, his chosen people. You might say this wasn't one of Israel's better times. We see what level they have gone to murder. They have murdered their sons and daughters for the devil. They have murdered their sons and daughters for the idols of Canaan. They have done what makes them happy, not what makes the Lord happy. They didn't do what the Lord commanded them. Not just in that first verse there, but all of the rest of it is breaking other commands that the Lord had given them. They are serving their own desires. It says here they were defiled with their own works. This is not something some strange group of people did. This is what God's people did when they turned away from God. Part 3. We are going to look at another place. We're going to look in Matthew, and I'll give you the verse in a moment. The Israelites were following the priests and not God. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 26, we find they have asked for Barabbas. And they all said to Pilate, "Let him be crucified." But Pilate washed his hands of the innocent blood. And the Jews said, "His innocent blood be on us and on our children." Except that wasn't innocent blood that was on their hands. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 26. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner, called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified! When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Innocent blood is the blood of someone who is innocent. Yes, I know, that was very obvious. But I go further. This can be physically or spiritually innocent from the physical blood or the spiritual blood. In Jonah's case, to throw him overboard was to follow God's will, and thus was innocent by reason of God's will. Even though they had committed a crime, killing someone, they were doing it by reason of God's will, so they were innocent. Jonah and the Israelites deserved their punishment. They were not innocent, they were guilty. God had moved against them. The mariners, as mentioned above, and Jesus were innocent. Being guilty of innocent blood is to have committed murder by your own hands, by having ordered it, if you have the authority, or by perjury at trial. the Jews, on the day that Jesus went to the cross, had the opportunity to make sure that they chose Barabbas to be crucified. But if they had, we would have a problem. Because Jesus' innocent blood is what saves us. It is what the Jews at Jerusalem needed more than anything. But they were saying that killing Jesus would be a righteous killing. Even the judge, Pilate, said, "What evil hath he done?" He was saying, Jesus is innocent. I find no evil in him. I find he has committed no crime. And he says, I am innocent of the blood of this person. No. We dropped a word there. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Innocent person. Person I find no evil in. But the crowd, the Jews, and the priests cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified!" They were overriding the decision of the judge. This is murder. As I said, though, if Jesus hadn't died on the cross, we would have a problem. Because if Jesus' blood is not upon you, then you need to be washed in his blood right away. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9 talks about a few things, but the last one is the most important. I'll emphasize it for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want us to perish. He wants us to come to repentance. God is saying he wants me, the messed up person I was before I knew him, and everybody else, to get up and repent. Hello? Hi? You out there? That means you. And you. And you. And you. And you. It means everybody out there who is listening, who does not know the Lord, or knows somebody who doesn't know the Lord, then you need to get this message to them. Because it means you. It means everybody. No excuses. No procrastination. This means you. If you are not with the Lord, or you know somebody who's not with the Lord, either you need to get with the Lord, or you need to help that other person find the Lord. God did his part. John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's begotten Son was Jesus, is Jesus. And Jesus did his part. Acts chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Verse 37 says, and I don't have it right in front of me, sorry, make that verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Jesus did his part. God did his part. Now it is time for you to do your part. Now you must believe. Now you must have faith. Now you must confess your faith. Now you must get up and repent. And now you must be baptized, like Paul was told to do in Acts 22:16. Acts 22, verse 16. Paul is told, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away the sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. If we do not know Jesus as our personal Savior, then it is time to change that. It is time for you to find out what God wants you to do, what God has in store for you. God wants you on his team. It's up to you to get there. Take action now. And we will talk again next week. Again, take action now.